Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Well, here we go. Thursday, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. Those of you watching on the television side on MSG get a look at the inside of New Era Field where the Buffalo Bills play. Field's still not down. The brand new turf still not down yet. And I don't know how much work they're going to get done today, Steve. It was quite a storm that passed through here about an hour ago, right? We were both keeping an eye on it outside the field.
It's one of those storms. It doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while when you stop everything and kind of got to go out and watch it,
yeah.
It was one of those. It blew through here, and we had lightning strikes and all kinds of stuff going on. So it was, it was one of those work stoppages for for weather watching.
We got plenty of those.
Yeah.
I hope everybody made it through the storm okay. It was nothing too severe here. Thunder, lightning, heavy rain. That's about as hard as it can rain, I would think, right, when it was raining there for a while?
It was for real, and it was good. I mean,
it's over.
It was short lived. Yeah, that's good. So
it did force the Bills inside for today's organized team activity. They are in session number 3. Again, to recap, a total of 10 OTAs over a 3-week period. This is the third this week. They are off tomorrow. They come back on next Tuesday after the holiday for another OTA, and 3 OTAs next week, 3 the following week after that, and then the week after that, you're in the veteran mandatory minicamp, and then they're gone until training camp, which is late July. Still haven't seen the dates or schedule of training camp yet, but moved it indoors today because of that heavy rain. The field has still got to be wet. That's how hard it was raining an hour ago.
You mentioned that about training camp. You can imagine. I mean, a lot of fans are really interested in when training camp starts first day because then they can do the math and start thinking when their preseason games are going to be. You kind of already know. But you can imagine the angst in our building for people at our level, be that as it may. I want to know when we got to be at training camp.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't even figured it out yet. They don't even know yet. They haven't set it in stone. Just hasn't trickled down to us yet.
Keep this in mind. Bills' first preseason game is Thursday, August 8th. Back up 2 weeks from that, that's the first day they can practice at training camp. That would be Thursday, July 25th. So right around then, 24th, maybe report. I'm guessing. Haven't seen this. Don't know this for sure. July 24th, July 25th would be the first day you would think of Bills training camp. And we know they're going to spend a couple of days at least down in Carolina before they play the Carolina Panthers Friday? Is that a Friday game? Yeah, that's a Friday, August 16th. Before they play the Panthers down there, they're spending a few days in Spartanburg, South Carolina, practicing with the Panthers. So look for that time frame about the July 25th for a couple of weeks for the Bills training camp. But again, nothing official. We don't know it yet. We're dying to know, as Steve pointed out. But we know it'll be 2 weeks before the first preseason game. We know that for sure.
Right.
All right, welcome to the show. We'll tell you about what we know going on in OTAs. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, is going to join us at 12:30 to tell us what he has seen so far and what he has picked up. And a lot of interesting stuff going on. And the injuries, I know, it's only May. You reminded me of that today. And the first game is, less than 4 months away now. But they did sign a free agent tight end yesterday, Mequan Dean. Signed to a contract. They were awarded a claim for an offensive tackle, DeAndre Wesley, who was here in 2017 on the practice squad. But Mequan Dean played at Western Kentucky, Seattle, undrafted rookie. Last year? Yeah. Mequan Dean played at Western Kentucky. Yeah. The Bills made that roster move late yesterday because, quite frankly, they need tight ends, Steve. They have the injury, obviously, that could be a couple of months, you would think, the broken foot for Tyler Kroft. And then Jason Kroon came off with a limp. No word yet on what his issue is, but came off with a limp during Tuesday's minicamp session. So just for practice purposes, for numbers, they needed to sign a tight end, and they did late yesterday in Mequan Dean.
Right. And it's so early. I mean, we're already talking about it. But one of the key things is going to be getting them up and running. And the the more reps you get, I mean, this isn't catastrophic, these injuries. No. I don't think any of them are even career-threatening, even season-threatening for most of these guys. But, you know, when everything seems to have been going really well and now you kind of get a chance to shift gears and get into some OTAs where you're actually going to learn something about the offense, implement some things on the defense, start to run through some stuff as a team and really start to build on something. Now, you know, you're starting to trip up and get guys who you thought you were going to really be relying on, like Mitch Morse, like Cole Beasley, like Tyler Croft, particularly on the offensive side of the ball where so much work's been done. It's like, ugh, all right.
Well, I mean, right now there are three healthy tight ends on the roster. Two of them are rookie draft picks, third-rounder Dawson Knox, seventh-rounder Tommy Sweeney, and the guy just arriving here today, Mequan Dean. I think, you know, again, it's not catastrophic. You're right. But it is significant, and I think as you look at it on the negative, you're like, man, they've lost a couple of tight ends the first few days of minicamp. On the other hand, what an opportunity for the draft picks, in particular third-rounder Dawson Knox, Steve, who now – and, you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, the guests we have on our show will say, you know, I really like Dawson Knox. I really thought Dawson Knox was a great steal for the Bills in the draft. Well, now he gets a chance to show it, right? And it's a great opportunity for him, Dawson Knox. I think, and to a lesser extent, Tommy Sweeney, the BC seventh rounder. But for Dawson Knox, look, the way it's going, if they can't find anybody and, you know, there's not a whole lot out there on the street anymore, impact difference making tight ends, Dawson Knox could find himself as a rookie starting opening day for the Buffalo Bills. Maybe that would happen even without these injuries. I don't know. But I think it's something worth noting.
I think sometimes I think I'm psychotic. Well, you know me, I'm a little Oscar optimist, you know. I'm always Mr. Positive Spin. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? This might be great that Tyler Croft got hurt. It might be great that Groom got hurt because Dawson Knox might, you know, all of a sudden he gets all these reps, and all of a sudden opening day he is the starter. He goes on to have this, you know, Tony Gonzalez career here in Buffalo. And it's all because of this guy
now
pulled his hammy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's me. So I am a little bit psychotic in that regard.
Dawson Knox remains the only unsigned draft pick for the Buffalo Bills, but working out here, they have the usual allowances for injury and everything if a unsigned rookie were to get hurt in these OTA sessions. But it's worth keeping an eye on over the next couple of weeks. Again, two more weeks of OTAs, and then the 3 weeks away is the mandatory veteran minicamp. And I think the tight end situation got interesting this week, unfortunately because of injury. But as we said, on the positive side, the opportunity is wide open now for both draft picks, Knox and Kennedy.
Yeah, you think, it's interesting too. Yeah. And I don't want to get up ahead of me, but this might play into the Twitter poll. You know,
it may.
You know,
I got to find the Twitter poll.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's about position battles and which one's the most intriguing.
And you know, this is plug time. We got to this Twitter poll because of a post that I wrote this morning that's going up on BuffaloBills.com on Saturday morning this week. It's pretty simple. And we've talked about this a lot, actually, throughout the course of the offseason here, the last several weeks especially. But as you look at it, and when you see now players on the field getting through practice, taking reps, the thought occurred to me, which Buffalo Bills position battle are you most intrigued with? You know, and it doesn't mean that you know how it's going to settle, because I don't on many of these. It means which is going to be most interesting to watch over the next few months. So we offered a couple of suggestions on Twitter, and we're open for your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We will read it off the tweet sheet, and you can vote in the Twitter poll. Which Bills position battle are you most intrigued with? We put it up a while ago, already 250 votes in on this, and I guess it makes sense. 59% of respondents on Twitter are most intrigued with the offensive line position battle. More on that in a moment. 28% say wide receiver, 10% say running back, and 2% say starting cornerback. And we don't have it all there. There may be others that you're interested in. I wrote about it, as I said, and it'll go up on Saturday morning. Offensive line, I think it's because everything's in play, right? At stake is everything. Who's starting, who's playing, who lines up where, and almost everybody is a contender. Wide receiver, 28% of you think that. And I think at stake there is, you know, I know Steve disagrees with this, but I wrote it because I believe this, and this is mostly opinion here. It's the bottom of the wide receiver depth chart. And Andre Roberts, Isaiah McKenzie, Duke Williams, I think, are the most interesting guys there. Tight end now is interesting, as we said with the with the injuries. Who starts? Who plays? How many do they keep? Kroft, Kroom, Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney, and a new guy here. Running back is interesting, obviously. Only 10% of you on Twitter say you think that's interesting. But who's going to get the carries? How are they going to split up the playing time? We've talked about that a lot. McCoy, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, the categories there. Quarterback, I think the only most intriguing, interesting thing is what goes on with Tyree Jackson. Caught a break when Derek Anderson retired. But now, you know, we know he's huge. We know he's got a rocket launcher on his right arm. Now Tyree Jackson gets a chance to show that he is more than just the physical specimen. On our list is starting cornerback. Only 2% of you say that's intriguing. Look, Tre'Davious on one side. Who's on the other? We'll talk with Brownie about this. But first open day of OTAs the other day, it was Levi Wallace, who started 7 games at the end of last year. But Kevin Johnson, former Texans first-rounder, has a chance to play. E.J. Gaines, who started 11 games for the Bills 2 years ago, has a chance, obviously. And that's, I think, that to me is one of the more interesting battles because we're talking about a starter. And finally, in my list that goes up on Bills.com on Saturday, the roles in the defensive line rotation. Trent Murphy, Shaq Lawson, Harrison Phillips, Jordan Phillips, Eddie Yarbrough, Mike Love. All these things I think are going to be pretty interesting to watch. But you get a chance to weigh in on that.
Yeah, it's been fun thinking about it, too. Murph and I talk a lot about this. The wide receiver battle, we've had some substantial discussions about who we think is going to shake out up there. The only two guys I'm really counting on are the top two, is Cole Beasley and John Brown. The other guys, to me, you can throw on a hat. Murph is a little bit more stable down in the last second, too. He thinks Zay Jones and the return guy is
Andre Roberts.
Andre Roberts is going to make the difference. But for me, I don't know if anybody's set that in stone. I know when you get down to the depth chart like that, those guys have to contribute on special teams. Andre Roberts is a perfect example of that. But when you get past him or around there, I think all those guys are going to have to find a way to contribute. And if they can't cover kicks, they're not going to make the team. So we'll see how deep that goes. But running back, I think the most interesting thing is maybe not about who makes the team, but I do want to see Devin Singletary. I do want to see this guy play a little bit. I know what Frank Gore – we all know what Frank Gore can do. He's a Hall of Fame running back. LeSean McCoy, I think there's some intrigue there because people – yeah, you're starting to wonder whether some of it was him last year, the lack of a running game. I don't think it was. I think he's as good a back as he was the year before. The offensive line deteriorated with losing, 40% of their starters. So I think there are some really intriguing battles here. The tight end battle is going to be really interesting now that we've been talking about it. Dawson Knox, I think maybe Lee Smith, but like for now, going to the top of the depth chart. It almost has to be Dawson Knox, doesn't it? The third round draft, of course, he's not even under contract.
Yeah, he'll be under
contract. Man, I would sign his – if I were him, I would sign that contract as fast as I could right now and start taking number one reps.
He might be taking number one reps. I don't know. We can ask Brownie.
Yeah, he might. But that's has become intriguing over the last 3 days. That's how fast this stuff changes. So it is interesting. And, of course, offensive line, you got 19,000 guys – trying to qualify for 5 spots, and you've got probably 2 spots pretty well set in stone. Maybe a couple other guys that you don't know exactly where they're going to line up. You're pretty sure, but then you got these other guys that you brought in. It's going to be interesting, and I think there's no question. All of us know who've been following this team. That position, that group, that offensive line group has been priority number one for about 8 months now. Is that about right? Yeah, about 8 months.
Yeah.
About a month into last season. We were wondering. So we'll see how it shakes out. It's going to be fun to see. But most of you think, 60% of you think offensive line, 28% wide receiver, 10% running back, and 2% starting corner on the other side. So we'll see. And if you have any other ideas, chime in on Twitter.
Yeah, we don't have them all figured out, but we have some thoughts on which position group battles intrigue you the most. So that's going to be a big topic of discussion today. Also, later in the day, coming up at 1 o'clock? Yeah, right, 1 o'clock. Mike Pereira, former NFL director of officiating. He's coming to Rochester next month for a golf tournament, battlefields to ball fields. We'll talk about that with Mike. But there was more talk this week about the use of instant replay for pass interference and maybe a little bit of tweak coming. We'll get Mike Pereira's thoughts on that and other issues that came up in the NFL meetings this week in Florida.
He was also the director of officiating for the AAF, which is, of course, now not around anymore. But by the same token, before it left, it also left some ideas on the table that the NFL was strongly considering. Mike was the director for all of that, and like the Sky Judge. And with replay back on the on the front burner for the NFL, that may be back on the docket. That Sky Judge idea that the AAF used, and it seemed
it's not happening this year, is it?
No, it's not happening. None of that's happening this year. That's not even on the table, but it is being discussed. I would think that there's no question. All of this is continually discussed when they get together to talk about replay and how it works and how it should work. I told you yesterday at the end of it, I told you all three, at the beginning of it yesterday, I told you I was exhausted from talking about it because of the thought processes you have to go into. And we gave you a quick glimpse into that about trying to define what a Hail Mary pass is going to be. You know, you think how complicated it is to word that all out. And none of it holds water. We love our listeners, and they all chime in on Twitter and say, well, a pass over 35 yards, three receivers in the end zone gathered around trying to catch a pass that's thrown up in the air. That doesn't cover all the it doesn't cover all the options. It's incomplete. Plus, it sends you down a road where there's some other intended consequences, like time on the clock, like lead, like a lack of a lead. All of this stuff is getting discussed ad nauseum. And at the end of yesterday, I told you, Murph, I think the league is going to go to a spot where they're going to simplify it. Say, you can challenge anything you want. Each coach can do it this many times. In the last 2 minutes, it'll come from the booth. That's it. Period. And we're going to be done with it. So pick your play and challenge it, and we'll see where it gets us. And it's got to be done in like 30 seconds, right? So there you go.
You have higher expectations than I do when it comes to this problem, because I think, and we were there last Saturday, Sean McDermott articulated a coach's standpoint, which is if we can get it right, we should get it right, no matter what replay is, no matter what we need to do with replay.
That's because they don't have to mow their lawn after the game's over. They want to get, everybody else has got, listen, I got stuff to do. Let's get the game over. He doesn't have any place to go.
Yeah.
they don't care if it takes 2 hours extra. If the game turns into a 4.5-hour death march, sitting there waiting for these guys to get one play right in the second quarter, I don't care about that. You know?
I know.
That's what we're looking at. You're looking at I want that game 3 hours and done. And then when you're going to stop it because you got a guy maybe who got back on sides on a false start on a 3rd and 20, I don't care. You know?
I know.
I don't care.
Coaches care. And it's not even, I don't think it's much about length of game. It's just as getting a watchable game, a watchable product, which I think we and most fans are all about, right? Can I watch this game? Is it going to entertain me? Do I want to sit through interminable replays that, about rules and nuances of rules? And, well, let's look again at you can visualize it immediately. Well, here's the definition of a Hail Mary pass, and does this meet the four criteria for a Hail Mary? Somebody tweeted in yesterday, a Hail Mary pass is if, it's 35 or more yards, it's three receivers in a group. All right, you can write those. Go ahead, write them up. Knock yourself out. Now I'm already getting worked up again. Knock yourself out. Write up the criteria.
This is our office. This is our office before the show, right?
Write up. Go ahead and figure out what you think a Hail Mary pass is. Do it. I don't want to watch that explanation every game at the end of every game. Well, that's not really a Hail Mary because there were only two receivers in that cluster. And
the third receiver was 4 yards away, not 2 yards away.
Is that really what we're looking for? Does that equal entertainment in your mind? I don't think it does. We'll get Mike Pereira in on this at 1 o'clock, is he?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
We'll get Mike into this on 1 o'clock, and I'll get it all worked up again on that. But I just think the NFL in its effort to be, flawless, to embrace technology, to prove to the world that they embrace technology, does that appeal to a segment of fans? Maybe it does. I don't think it does.
Yeah, they're trying to be fair. They're trying to get it right, be fair to all the people that, that are invested in the game emotionally, not forget about fans, the players and coaches, all of that stuff. But you've got to keep it inside the lines of reason. And when you start getting into the minutia and trying to legislate the minutia of the game, it becomes too cumbersome to enjoy. And that defeats the purpose of the entire exercise, to me.
To me, too. We'll talk about that with Mike Pereira.
I can't believe I'm starting to evolve over to your side of the replay fence.
You know what it tells me? It tells me that you're finally listening to me.
I've stopped that immediately.
you're seeing that I make sense.
Go back to the old days.
Look, I don't have all the answers. I'm not kidding. I don't have all the answers. But I think about these things a lot. I know I think about these things a lot. And
we think about them more than anybody, Murph.
Yeah, we're a little bit touched
yes.
in that regard. All right, what position group intrigues you the most for the Bills? We put up a couple on the Twitter poll, and you're voting on that. But we're getting tweets in on this. See, why don't you take
all
us
right.
go, get us going on the
Start from Alan. Which position group intrigues you the most? Alan says, each position has a lot of competition, but after not selecting a wide receiver in the draft, let's see which free agent or current receivers shine. Hopefully, several have a chemistry with Josh Allen as a number one quarterback and with all the starters this preseason. That's from Alan. He thinks, yeah, the wide receivers. And from Jeremiah, which position group intrigues you the most? Wide receiver. It's jam-packed rooms, and so like half of them aren't going to make it. And everyone knows it. Also, some actually leapfrogging the incumbents. It's wide open. And that's one of the things I'm kind of thinking might happen is one of the incumbents might be the odd guy out.
Who? Foster? Zay Jones?
Foster, Zay Jones. You pick him.
Isaiah McKenzie should be on the roster. I'll tell you that right now.
Isaiah McKenzie.
Okay, different story.
Yeah, all these guys. It's going to be interesting to see the guys who we've seen catch passes, which ones are going to be unseated. Because this, and I've said it, this has been my mantra this offseason. This Buffalo Bills roster now is going to be really difficult to make. Significantly more difficult to find a roster spot on because of the talent level they have accumulated. And that's it. I mean, you're going to have some pretty good football players who are going to be on the street after this training camp or at the end of this training camp or maybe even the middle of this training camp. Some good football players who have contributed are going to be on the street. There's always, even when you have a rough football team, there's usually some surprises when the cut down days come. I think this year there's going to be this might be one of the teams for the first time in a long time where other teams are circling to see which guy they're going to let go.
Look, I know there are no locks. In fact, I got a quote here from McDermott the other day. He says, there's no depth chart at this time of the year. Guys are out there. See a guy with the ones. The next day he's with the twos. Same thing. He's with the twos one day, the ones the next day. We're trying to find the right pieces as we evolve and grow and come to the final 53. I get it. No locks. But at receiver, I would be not shocked, not blown away, but surprised. I'd be surprised if these four are not on the 53, provided everybody's healthy. Zay Jones, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. If those four are not on the 53-man roster going into September 8th, I'd be surprised. And so what does that leave you? One or two spots maybe. That's the way I see it. Right. You say one of those four is likely to be out or likely or –
I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Oh, I would.
I think there's some guys they brought in. I think Duke Williams is going to make a push to make the top three wideouts. I think he's a different body than those guys, and he's that type of guy. He plays with a little bit more attitude than I've seen our receiving corps play with in the last couple of years.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of attitude?
Like slap the taste out of the DB's mouth attitude.
Like, and you've seen that?
Like, get off me. And I have not seen that with our receiving corps. I think our receiving corps been a little bit timid, to be honest with you, the last couple of years. And I don't think John Brown, I know Cole Beasley's not timid. I mean, he plays that slot. I mean, you've got to be courageous going in there. I don't think you've got a guy. I don't think we've displayed an attitude of fight when our guys are running through the secondary or in their battling for catches or that kind of thing. I haven't seen that attitude yet. So maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am. But we'll see. And I think a guy like Duke Williams with a chip on his shoulder, knowing this is one of his final opportunities to get back into the National Football League after paying his dues in the Canadian Football League, being as big a guy as he is and having a team right in the right spot to look for a guy like him, I think it might be one of those opportunities that a couple of things come together and he emerges on that roster.
Could happen.
And there's 1,000 practices.
Yeah, and I was going to say this. I think Duke Williams has a shot to be on the roster on the 53-man roster as the fourth or the fifth, but I'm not counting on that. It sounds like you're ready to count on that. I'm not counting on that. He hasn't done it yet.
I think he's a prime candidate.
He hasn't done anything yet in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's a prime candidate for that kind of move. But here's the problem, Murph, and here's what's going to have to shake out. is impossible for you and me to sit here and discuss. The fourth and fifth wide receiver on the roster are special teams guys, first and foremost, and then they're wide receivers. And I have no idea which one of the 12 or 14 wide receivers are going to be that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Certainly there's a bunch of – when you come up as in through football in the lower ranks of football as a receiver, you're always asked to return kicks. You're always asked to do that and do things that where you handle the football, even be a holder on place kicks and stuff. But it's going to be their contributions also in addition to their wide receiver contributions in on special teams that are going to, you know, make or break their ability to make this team.
Well, that's why if you're a guy like Cam Phillips or Ray McLeod or one of those, Isaiah McKenzie, you better be ready to play teams. You better be ready to be a contributor, a factor on special teams if you're going to make a bid for a roster spot here. And this goes to your point about a tougher roster to make than it was a year ago. I agree, especially at wide receiver.
Right.
All right, we're just getting rolling here. We got a good show. Chris Brown standing by to join us in a couple of minutes. Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. We'll get his thoughts on this. And coming up at 1 o'clock, Mike Pereira, former NFL Director of Officiating, now, of course, with the Fox Network on officiating. He's joining us on the line at 1 o'clock. And we'll talk more about this. Weigh in on our Twitter poll. Which position battle on the Bills are you most intrigued with? We'll take phone calls on that. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll take your Twitter vote on our Twitter poll, and you can tweet in a response that we may read on the tweet sheet. Just getting started on Thursday, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, we need some time off here. Steve and I basically just argued through the last 5 minutes about an actor's name. So it was really important to
argue about.
It was
an actor slash football writer's name.
Kind of.
We're talking about Joe Piscopo and Pete Prisco. And I said Pete Prisco when I meant Joe Piscopo because we're talking about a movie.
How about me figuring out who you were talking about, though?
I knew you would. If it was the right movie.
I got you there. I got you over the hump.
Thanks, right. Brownie. Brownie is here. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Looking forward to the long weekend, I bet. We all are, right?
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice. Kind of
great.
Officially kick off summer. It'll be nice if it doesn't rain for the next 3 days.
I hear you.
So I can get some yard work done. I mean, are we all behind? Is it just me? I mean,
yeah.
We basically lost May.
Yep.
May's over. We lost it. We only get like 6 months of nice weather. We lost the damn thing already. It's over. It's gone. No sun.
Don't get in his way, Steve.
You know,
he's ready to go.
You know it's bad when you got to mow your lawn in shifts because this part's wet. This part you can mow, and this part's too wet. And now I can mow one more swath today because it's a little dry. And then you get rained on. It's like,
well, it's been pouring. I mean, I'm sure you guys heard it over.
Are you kidding me? It's like a fire hose outside.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
First world problems, gentlemen.
That's right. First world problems.
We've got bigger issues out on the practice field. Chris joins us. He was at the open OTA session on Tuesday, at which time it became apparent, Chris, the Bills have a little bit of a deficit in the tight end ranks these days, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all know about Tyler Kroft's injury. Jason Kroom got hurt on Tuesday. I don't know if he's participating now since it is closed, but clearly the team saw a need to fortify the position, you know, signing Mikwan Dean. So, you know, they had to add to their numbers there because usually what happens is when you lose up to two players at a position, especially one where there's a lot of running, what happens is the guys that are picking up the slack are getting extra reps, and now they're susceptible to injury because they're taking added reps, and you want to avoid that. Otherwise, you get a rash of injuries at a position, you got a big problem.
You know what I remember about this when I was playing? Huh. I ended up playing throughout one entire mini camp. I was a tight end.
Really?
Through an entire mini camp.
Wow. Just posting guys up?
And bodying them up, yeah, right down inside, coming crashing down on Bruce Smith on the outside.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Right, yeah. It's true. You can't. You just start filling in, throwing in guys because, you know, you start getting soft tissue injuries.
Chris, Steve has told me to pump the brakes. It's only May. Don't worry about it. And I'm not worried. I will say this, though. I do think Look, there's an opportunity here, and I think the number one opportunity benefit guy could be Dawson Knox, third-round draft pick, right? In fact, we were talking about today, shoot, if these people don't get healthy, and again, we don't know about Kroom, but there's a chance Dawson Knox lines up on September 8th as the Bills starter, I would think. And maybe that would have been there earlier even. I don't know.
I think that's a little premature. I really liked what I was seeing from Jason Kroom before, you know, he left practice early. He looked dynamic in the passing game on Tuesday and was doing really well with his route running. There was a clear chemistry with Josh Allen. He was looking for him. He was making plays for him. So I was encouraged by what I saw from Kroom, and it's really been a nice transformation, development, whatever you want to call it, for a guy who's relatively young at the position, being a converted wide receiver in college, to tight end. He's really, as we've said on this show many times, taking the bull by the horns when it comes to the blocking game. I think he's better there. And we saw him flash last year, and I think he's ready to become a more consistent contributor. Whether that means he's the starter or not, I don't know. Lee Smith is clearly here to fill a blocking role, but Kroom and Knox are your two most athletic tight ends on the roster.
How many do they keep?
Four.
All right, so you're thinking Dawson Knox, Jason Kroom, Tyler Croft, Lee Smith.
Probably.
Which means Tommy Sweeney, practice squad guy.
Probably.
How'd you get to four?
I believe that there's going to be more two tight end personnel groupings this year. I think they're going to try to run the ball out of that to a certain degree. And then once that becomes even remotely predictable, I see Dable throwing out of that because he's got targets that he can throw to now. And he's got a quarterback who hopefully makes the next step to being consistent in the short to intermediate passing game. So I think there are, as we've said before, 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, was the second most popular alignment for this offense last year. I think with the tight ends you now have on board, that becomes an even greater likelihood of them turning to that more often. And I think because of that, you're probably going to carry four tight ends. Obviously, you're going to have to rob from somewhere else. But this was a team that had 10 offensive linemen on the roster at the start of the year last year. You can keep nine and be fine. And Lee Smith is practically a lineman by himself. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He is huge.
Yeah, we had him in.
He might be even bigger than he was last time.
Yeah, he's like an offensive tackle. Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, it is a numbers game, no question. And they may go more for two tight end or maybe even three tight end or heavy, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's the crucial element is Daboll wants to do everything. They're going to want to do four wide and three tight and all of that.
And he used to be a tight ends coach for quite a while up in New England. So it's a guy that is used to turning to them, you know, in a passing game. We know the tight end history in New England. So, you know, I mean, you can run down the list, you know, all the way back to Ben Coates if you want. But I just think we're probably going to see some of that. Now, that being said, you look at the receiver talent and – I could also see them going four wides more than they did last year. You know, double slots with Beasley and Jones, and then your two outside guys, you know, Foster and Brown. I could see a lot of four wides and one back. And what's going to be most interesting to me is how is Shady going to operate in a spread system? I think he could do really well.
Sure.
I mean, we remember C.J. Spiller and the year he had in 2012 under Chan Gailey when he was running those single back four wide sets as the most popular formation in their offense, and Spiller was averaging 6 yards a carry because the lanes were so big because the defense was so spread out. I think McCoy could have similar success if they choose to go that route a good bit of the time.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Do you care to dive into our Twitter poll, Chris? Kind of right up your alley, I think. Which Bills position battle are you most intrigued with? On Twitter, we got almost 500 votes in so far, and way more than half, 58% of respondents say the offensive line battle is what they're most intrigued with. 29% say the wide receiver battle. 11% say running back. 2% say starting cornerback. Which one would you be most intrigued with? Is there something else we're missing?
No, it's offensive line there for me, and I think it's because it's the most up in the air of all of them.
Everything's open.
I think you can, with the other ones, you can at least establish somewhat of a pecking order and make some pretty good hypotheses as to how things are going to fall. You know, we just did receiver and tight end there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think with the offensive line, the jury is still out at a lot of places. I mean, it's basically center and left tackle, I think, are your only lock, stock, and barrel guys for the starting five, which is Deion Dawkins and Mitch Morse. Left guard, right tackle, there's no defined answer there yet.
Because the extra degree of difficulty you have in O-line is because you might have a guy who can play right or left. Which ones he play better? And if he's a better right guard than he is a left guard, you put him at right guard. That means the guy who is also a better right guard than he is left guard can't play left guard. So you got to have a guy, you know what I mean? They can play different positions up front. So you got 15 guys that can play three of the positions you're talking about. And that's, and you got to sift through, find the best five combination.
And with Morse and Bodine out, I think it has only muddied the waters further because now you're rotating every other day at center between Feliciano and Long. Their day when they're not there at center, one of them is at one of the guard positions, and Feliciano
starting guard.
Yeah, and Feliciano told me that he and Long are both playing right and left guard. So those two guys alone, depending on the day, are playing center, right guard, or left guard. He also said Quentin Spain is playing left or right guard. So he's alternating. So I think they're trying to find what Steve was just talking about. Who plays right guard the best? Who plays left guard the best? Who's our best option in a pinch at center? Knowing we don't have who are projected to be our top two guys. So you roll all that together, that's a lot to unfurl, you know, before you get to early September. So that, to me, that's the most intriguing because there are the most unanswered questions
and
there.
And the questions go on and on. So you got this guy, Cody Ford, also, who's playing maybe line up at right tackle, but you know in a pinch, he's probably the best guard on your team.
Could
be. You know what I'm saying?
Could be.
So you got that to throw in there as well. How valuable do you think that's going to be if you got a guy like Ty Nsekhe, who's maybe as good a swing tackle as there is any place, maybe you're better throwing Cody Ford inside and putting Ty Nsekhe out there. You know what I'm saying?
And you still have Adrian Waddle.
Right. So you got all these questions.
He could be your swing tackle.
You got all these questions you got to answer, and it's going to take – I don't know how they do it, man.
We had brand-new media superstar Eric Wood on the show the other day, Chris. And he said – he expects it by the end of, I think he said by the end of minicamp.
Before
camp. He says the issue, the positions, who's playing where, will be settled by the end of the June minicamp.
Well,
and
I think
he said he expects it to happen.
I think they'll have a very good idea on who they believe their starting five to be. Now, is it subject to change? You better believe it is, because the pads aren't even on yet. And you get into a preseason game, And Steve can probably speak to this to a certain degree. There's certain on-field chemistry that's involved too. How does this guy team up with this center on a combo block? Yeah. Does this guy work off of this guy better? Does this tackle and guard do well to help the guy climb to the second level? Right. It's those kinds of things. It's how they play together also that counts almost as much as the individual skill set of each of those five guys.
And it's also, too, the fact that I think that the thing that we're talking about, this time frame when they're going to decide all this, Bodine and Morse aren't in there to help sift it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two of the pieces you're kind of – I know you're depending on Morse.
Yeah.
That sets you back.
Right.
It sets you back.
Did we talk receivers yet? Here today with you, Steve, and I, you need to be the tie-breaking vote here.
Okay,
but it's not a clean vote.
You didn't. I heard it already. I know what he's going to say. He's going to agree with you.
Oh,
what?
Well, I maintain, and this is just a maintaining in May, for whatever that's worth.
Right.
That there are. Let's assume this is what I wrote here. Let's assume the top four wide receivers on the 53-man roster will be Zay Jones, John Brown, Cole Beasley, and Robert Foster. Leaving you what one? Yeah, two, maybe. Do you make that assumption? Steve Tasker does not. Do you think those are the top four? I'm not saying they're roster locks. I'm saying that I assume and I'm thinking those four will be the top four and will probably be on the 53.
I would say at this juncture I would be surprised if they are not the top four.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what about the rest of them?
I think they keep six.
Okay. On the 53, six, so you need two more.
And I think your fifth is Andre Roberts.
There you go.
Lock, stock, and barrel. So you really have a handful of guys fighting for what is essentially one wide receiver
position.
It's
more than a handful. It's two handfuls almost.
Well, it's Duke Williams from Canada. Isaiah McKenzie, I would think. Anybody else realistically in the top?
Victor Bolden, Ray-Ray McLeod, Isaiah McKenzie, Cam Phillips, Andre Roberts, no, Damari Scott,
I think
David, David Sills.
Probably
Duke
comes
Williams.
Down to McKenzie and Williams. And the interesting thing there is those are two very different,
yeah,
very different
wide receivers. So what do you covet more, speed or size?
Right.
If you feel you have speed and enough supply in the form of Foster and John Brown, who can really run, you might slide towards size,
yeah,
as your preference. I'd have to check. I want to say Isaiah McKenzie still has practice squad time.
I believe
he does. I'm not 100% sure. I'll check with the people upstairs who keep a running tab on that. But I want to say that he does, because what is he listed as, a two? Oh, third-year player.
Third-year player, maybe not.
We'll see. I'll have to check.
And it's going to be interesting to see, too, that if the fly, and it's going to be up to probably Brian Daboll largely, that if you do have the fifth and sixth guys who are, you know, different, or they're not going to be active only on due to injury, do you want a different type of guy the next week than you had this week? Or do you want the flexibility that if you're coming into a game, you can activate this guy this week and not activate the other guy? You know what I'm saying?
And
it gives you flexibility.
And the special,
or do you want all
and the
guys
special
the
same? Teams consideration too, Steve. You already have one in Andre Roberts, but he's strictly a return guy.
Right.
So does that tip the scales in favor of a Duke Williams who can play a little bit on coverage teams and has been lining up out there on punt return as an up man?
Mm-hmm.
Is he more valuable than McKenzie, who's strictly just a return man?
Right.
In the special teams game, because you already have Andre Roberts, who you spent money on in free agency.
Yeah.
So these are the little factors that come into play, the variables that are at work when this coaching staff is making the decision on the 53.
I think you sided with me. Do you have a few more minutes? Can we keep you till top of the hour?
It depends on when practice ends, because I got to be out there when they come off. But
we'll come back. Hopefully Chris is here when we return. He'll check on practice. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown joining us this first hour. Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Chris stays with us. Practice not over. They're seven sessions into today's workout. Three more workouts next week. They're back here on Tuesday. Can we keep going on the roster for a minute? We only have about 4 minutes. I think, and I wrote this for a piece that's going up on the website Saturday, I believe. The starting cornerback spot, I'm intrigued by. It's something that opposite Tre'Davious. I know Levi Wallace got first-team reps Tuesday, right, when you saw it. But you got to believe that Kevin Johnson and E.J. Gaines are going to get a chance to run with the ones before this spring practice session is over.
I'd be inclined to think Kevin Johnson is going to get a little bit more of an opportunity outside. E.J. Gaines is right now running behind Taron Johnson in the slot, and I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be pushing Taron a little bit there. Not to say that EJ cannot play outside. He is with the second unit. But it seems like they're more apt to give Kevin Johnson the taller, longer corner, you know, the boundary role.
Refresh my memory. When EJ started, 11 games 2 years ago, he was outside most
of the
time.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was the right cornerback.
He was 9-2. The team was 9-2.
9-3.
Okay, pretty good. Defensive line, the rotation, they use a lot. They use eight players on a regular basis. So I think although a lot of jobs are set up there, you know, there are guys who are out here this spring kind of vying for reps, right? Harrison Phillips, Jordan Phillips, maybe even Trent Murphy, Yarbrough, Mike Love, right? There are guys here who need to have a good spring in order to keep their roster spots as well.
Or even just practice squad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was kind of writing down some depth charts when I was out there, at least in terms of how those guys were lining up.
Yeah.
So the top group – what was interesting is Trent Murphy was the starting left end, and Shaq is lining up at right end with the second unit. That was kind of a noteworthy development because they had Eddie Yarbrough as the second team left end, and they had Ed Oliver and Harrison Phillips together inside with the second group. The other Phillips, Jordan Phillips, thank you, along with Star was with the first group. And then the third group was kind of a mixed bag, but it was Eli Harold at right end,
right,
and then left end was Mike Love, and then in between them was Kyle Pecco, and then the other guy was Robert Thomas, two of the holdovers from last year's practice squad. So you know, you've got there's a lot of depth there.
Yeah,
got a ton
but
of
they
guys.
Need them. They need eight.
Yeah.
There's eight guys had 25% or more snaps up front defensive line last year.
But that's why, you know, that's why we've been saying, you know, with the state of where this roster is now, there's a very good chance that there are going to be players cut from this roster who play somewhere else in the league this year. It's going to happen.
And you got to remember, too, they drafted a defensive end, Darryl Johnson, who
– right. And he wasn't even getting reps in the early going.
He's standing around.
He rotated in with Mike Love with the third unit later in practice at the left end spot. So, yeah, I mean, there's a seventh-round pick who might be relegated to practice squad duty.
We may be reading too much into this, right? Sean McDermott, the quote the other day, there is no depth chart this time of the year. I think that's correct. And
yeah, I mean, I think what he means is while you're going to see guys line up with certain units – based on, I think, how the coaching staff believes it should be lined up, it's obviously subject to change anywhere and everywhere. I think Coach McDermott doesn't like guys getting comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps them on edge by letting them know this is a cutthroat league. You don't bring it every day. Someone's going to leapfrog you. And if they prove to us that they're willing to commit to what we expect from them every day on the practice field, no matter what time of year it is, no matter whether we have pads on or not, no matter whether it's a game or not, you're going to get passed over.
Right. And how much of this do you think – I know there's defensive tackles and defensive ends, but we know that that's, you know, not set in stone either because – for a lot of the time last year, remember Lorenzo Alexander was coming down playing D tackle in passing situations because Jerry right. liked the way he worked with him. So, because we talked about offensive line, how there's guards and right guard, left tackle, guard tackle combination, center guard tackle. How much of that goes on in the D line? How much is going to go on? Is Ed Oliver going to end up on the outside? That kind of thing.
I don't know if he's going to in year one. I could see him as an interior pass rusher on passing downs
sure. Oh, yeah.
Staying on the field all three downs in certain situations. But I think what's going to be interesting is what are the numbers there. Murph is of the opinion you need eight. But having Lorenzo Alexander as a hybrid rusher, does that change the numbers there? Does it change the dynamic there? If you're hamstrung at some other position in terms of the numbers that you want to keep – do you sacrifice someone in your top eight on your D line knowing you have Lorenzo as a guy who can get up on the line and rush in passing situations? These are going to be difficult decisions that are going to have to be made based on how things shake out through training camp.
What's coming up on the website over the holiday weekend, Chris? What do you got in the hopper? You got a great story by me.
We got your stuff coming up. I mean, you should be pubbing
that'll
that,
be the highlight.
Not me. And then we'll be right back at it early next week. Coming out of the holiday weekend, we'll be right back on the field for OTA reports again. So, yeah, we'll be covering it.
Yep. How are things going to change next week at all on the field?
Nothing different.
Just more of the same.
Same rules. You know, pads not on. So, same type of stuff, just repping it more. Come on, Steve, you know how it goes.
I heard someone in the local media making fun of OTAs. What a meaningless OTAs. What is that? I'm not saying it's critical, but it means something. It's a different level of practice going on here the last 3 weeks or the last three OTAs this week, right? It means something.
It does. I think you'd be ignorant to say it doesn't. otherwise, why the heck are these guys out here?
Yeah.
If it doesn't mean anything and it's voluntary, why do we have 90 guys out there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So,
yep.
Well, I mean, that could be your opinion and you're entitled to it, but I think it's way off mark.
One thing it does do is it answer some of the basic questions we're asking.
Yes.
You know, who's going to line up where? How's it going to start with the depth chart? Because when they start playing football, they got to put the first five guys out there when they start taking live reps and when they start practicing. They got to have all these questions answered. And also, when they do start taking live reps, they got to have plays to call, defenses to call. They got to have checks to make. They got to have all this stuff in so they can start running plays.
And a little further down the list, for all the new guys here, particularly the young ones, do they belong?
Yeah.
Right.
And by having them out here in this setting, you understand pretty quickly, even before the pads are on, athletically, do they belong? Yeah, and those are questions that coaches want answered as soon as possible.
That it never ceased to amaze me. You get out there, and one of the old defensive line coaches from years ago when Kyle Williams was drafted, and they drafted John McCargo in the same draft. He goes, we got out there. He goes, I could tell 20 minutes into the first practice which guy could play.
That's John Lavera, right?
No, it was Bill Kohler.
Oh, Bill Kohler. Yeah.
Bill Kohler.
Brownie, have a great weekend. Thank you for this.
You
we'll
too.
Let you get back to work. Chris Brown, thanks, Bills Brownie. Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I coming back. Mike Pereira is going to join us. Talk about a golf tournament he is running in Rochester in a couple of weeks. And we'll talk about the continuing tinkering of the instant replay on pass interference rule in the NFL. That's coming up next. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.